Let's get to some legal matters in the news now with Chicago trial attorney Karen Conte. Good morning, Karen. What exactly is the law in the case against Maduro and his wife? Let's talk about that first.
Well, these are just simply drug charges, narco-terrorism charges, and weapons charges. So these are fundamentally charges that could be brought against anybody in the United States, but they were brought against somebody who is a leader of another country. And the idea of seizing him and bringing him here is the unusual part. So, you know, a lot of people are speculating, what are the rights he's going to get here in the United States? And he's going to be treated like anybody else. He's going to have a right to counsel, right to remain silent, right to have due process, and he's going to have a jury trial, and we're going to have 12 citizens of the United States sitting on that jury deciding whether or not he's guilty of these charges.
The lawyer who has been retained by the defendants is Barry Pollack. What do we know about him, Karen?
He's a really good lawyer. He's a Washington-based lawyer. He was a prosecutor, federal prosecutor. And what I like about him for this case is that he is a CPA, and he is therefore very good at documents. And I think this is going to be a heavily documented case. I mean, the question as to whether the Maduros were involved in drug trafficking, you know, there are going to be all kinds of records of that if that's the case. And someone is going to have to sit through thousands and thousands of documents trying to figure out what was going on here, and did the Maduros actually know about the trafficking and the weapons, and were they in charge of this operation?
Two other people have been indicted, and we're not hearing very much about them, are we?
No, and this happened earlier. There are two of the people who are higher up in the Maduro administration, and they were both they both pled guilty, and one of them is going to be sentenced. And so, you know, there's a speculation in the legal community that these two individuals are going to be, you know, maybe testifying against Maduro or being forced or, you know, at least coerced to try to, exonerate themselves and maybe get some free time in their life by testifying against the Maduros. So that will be very, very interesting.
Out in California this morning, Nick Reiner will be arraigned. And there's a lot of talk about his mental health. How will that play into his defense?
Yeah, well, he has a long history of drug addiction and mental health issues, and recently he was diagnosed with schizophrenia, according to the media. Now, that doesn't mean you get off on a defense because you have a mental illness, but it certainly raises questions of whether he's going to lodge an insanity defense, which is always difficult because you need to prove that the person has a mental defect that causes a person not to understand the consequences of his actions. And when you flee the crime scene, you clean up the blood, that really goes against the idea that you don't know what you did was wrong. But it could also go to the idea that this wasn't first-degree murder. If he took some medicine, say, that was giving him all kinds of side effects that he did not expect, and that caused him to do something that he normally wouldn't have done, that might be some sort of partial defense to the first-degree charges, which are very serious.
Will Nick Reiner's behavior the night before the crime and what he did allegedly after it play into this case?
Yeah, I think so. And kind of it cuts both ways. And we've read that he was at Conan O'Brien's party with his parents, and he was acting very strangely, asking bizarre questions of the guests. And again, you know, if there's a fight between father and son, then maybe that's first-degree murder. But if he's acting erratically because he's on some medicine that is giving him side effects, that cuts the other way and might actually, lead him to a lesser charge of second-degree or manslaughter.
So what are the chances that the prosecutors are going to seek the death penalty?
I just don't think they will for a couple of reasons. One is that the Reiners are notoriously liberal, and they would not have wanted anyone to get the death penalty, probably particularly their son. Also, there's a moratorium on the death penalty in California, meaning the prosecutors can seek it, but it's not being carried out. So for the last 20 years, there have not been executions. So my guess is that the prosecutors are probably going to respect the wishes of Reiner's siblings and not proceed with the death penalty.
Let's talk about a lawsuit that's been in the news the last couple of days. Allegedly, McRib misleads consumers into thinking it's made up of rib meat, and McDonald's says it is. Others say it isn't. Does this case have merit?
Well, you know, you see more and more of these cases, and, you know, a lot of people think these are money grabs by lawyers, and some people say, well, it's a slippery slope. We should know what we're eating if we're going to eat these things. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the argument is that this is not rib meat, and it's made to look like a rib, but what it really is shoulder, heart, tripe, and scalded stomach. Well, that really...
Yum.
That'll ruin your appetizer this morning for sure. So the question is, would a reasonable consumer who pays $7.25 for a McRib think that they're really getting rib meat? And so that's probably going to go to a jury, or there's going to be a settlement of this class action.
And finally, yesterday, they called it National Divorce Day for some reason. You practice in this area, Karen. There has been a surge in the number of divorces, and it happens every January, doesn't it? Why is that?
Yeah, it does, and it makes sense. I think a lot of people want to get through the holidays with maybe one last family togetherness, and, you know, people don't want to get divorced. They don't want to change, even if it's a bad situation. They don't want to leave their house. They don't want to break up their families and their children, so they put it off and put it off, and then in January, they've got a new slate, and they're doing their New Year's resolutions, and people are ready to move forward. So, yes, it is a real phenomenon, and yesterday I signed up 2 divorces. So it's happening as we speak.
What's the most common reason people get divorced?
Well, the sociologists will tell you it's lack of commitment, and that's kind of a big kind of category. Mm-hmm. Infidelity is up there, and money is another one. I have a different theory. My theory is that it's not so much what happens during a marriage; it's more like picking, you know, choosing somebody who doesn't have a personality disorder, choosing someone who's got the same morals and the same family background, or at least some semblance of that. Because if you don't pick the right person, no matter what happens during the marriage, then, you know, those issues are going to come and they're going to arise no matter what you do to control it. So choose wisely is all I have to say.
More marital advice and legal news from Karen on the radio here Sunday afternoon at 3. Thank you, Karen. Have a good day.
You too, Bob.